It's January the 9th, 2013. This is 508, a show about Worcester. And we're here at Crompton Collective with Amy Chase. Hi, Amy. How are you doing?
Hi.
Chris Robarge of the ACLU and Private Citizen also. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm okay. And also Brendan Mellican.
How's it going, man?
It's going good. And I'm Michael Benedetti. And we are here at this place. Amy, what is this? This is on Green Street?
Yes, 138 Green in the Crompton Place building.
And it's kind of just like, I mean, it's like gigantic, and it's just got like a lot of
awesome stuff.
Yeah, we have 8,000 square feet of antiques and handmade items by local artists.
So this is like art stuff, artisanal stuff, as well as like whatever this is. Number 17, multi-tin, oh man, night.
I always get this confused, but I know you're
some sort of skates.
But is the entrance actually on the back side of the building?
Our main entrance is back.
Okay, I always come in the back, and I can never tell what you're supposed to do.
That's a secret entrance.
So this is right off of Kelly Square.
Yes.
How long has this been down here?
The building's been here for hundreds of years, but we've only been here 4 months.
Okay, it's really tremendous. The first time I came down here, I was like, I'm always the last to know about anything in Worcester. It's just like so much stuff. And so this is like people, artists and antique dealers and whatever, like will have like a shelf or a nook or something like that?
Yeah, they rent space. It's a juried antique mall. So okay. Everybody's a little bit edgy, a little bit creative. Mm-hmm. Not your average antique mall.
So like you have this duck or whatever it is, bird.
That's awesome, right?
A lot of antique malls, they would be like, this duck is too much.
Yeah, we don't want that duck. So this that's duck why is he's awesome. Here.
$28, that's actually
antique good. Skates, somebody looking at the oval.
The oval.
I don't even know what. So are those two blade skates, or you attach a skate in there?
You put your skate on top.
Oh.
They're probably for little kids.
Oh, it's like a training skate.
Training skate, yep.
Oh my goodness, save some money. Don't pay those high prices down there. Come buy an antique skate. Well, here's what we're going to talk about this week, guys, as we wander around this place. First of all, the Palladium was saved. The guy who used to manage shows at the Palladium bought the Palladium, and they said that they're going to keep it open as long as the metalheads are there, as long as the metalheads come out. What do you guys, any comment on this?
I think it's fantastic. I think it's much better than a parking lot.
Yes, it is.
Anything's better than a parking lot. And the Juggalos need a place to go.
Yeah, I think we need a place to interact with the Juggalos. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for the Palladium and Moina's Tavern, my interactions with Juggalos would be zero, and my life would be less complete for it.
It's an important thing to the Palladium. I'm really happy that it was saved. We're going to talk about panhandling this week. We're not going to talk about this till the end of the show. We got a bunch of media stuff we're going to talk about this week. Front Street was opened up. Were you in town for the opening of Front Street?
I was.
Did you go to that ceremony?
I didn't go to the ceremony, but I did drive down it about 5 times in the first 24 hours.
Did you go down to the ceremony?
I missed the ceremony, but I did the same thing. I did the loop.
I was out of town for New Year's, but last night I went out to dinner on Shrewsbury Street, and I coming back down, hit that light, and all the signs are still like the old signs pointing in the wrong, like right and left or whatnot, and it says screw it, and just went through it. That was the craziest thing that I've ever gone through. Like, I totally thought the whole like opening up was overblown and it made a big to-do about nothing that probably shouldn't have happened in the first place. But it's awesome driving through there. It's just this like big cavernous, and then you just pop out in downtown, right? And it's this nice sort of like you think you know the city, and then you're in this little tunnel that throws you off. A lot of fun.
I tell you,
I would take a ride.
I walked down it on January the 1st. I got back. I got the Greyhound back into town, and I was walking home, and it of course the fastest way to get anywhere is now through that street. And I was amazed. I was excited to walk down the street. I was also amazed that it really felt exactly like walking down any other street in downtown Worcester to me, at least in that section. I was surprised at how undisorienting it was and how much it seemed to like make sense. It was good.
Amy, are your registers still open? Because I'm going to just, while we're walking around, to start picking things up to take home with me.
What are you looking at? What are you
looking at? Rings. These rings are awesome. Not for myself. That really wouldn't fit with the work attire.
Yeah, rings, like cameras, a bunch of old shoes, a bunch of purses, some stuff with ostrich feathers. Or not ostrich feathers. We call them peacock feathers. Some clothes. All right, so I want to look at this media stuff real quick. Chris, you want to come over here and sit down next to me on this couch?
Sure.
And we'll look at a newspaper with me. Here's what we got this week, media-wise. And we're putting off talking about this panhandling to the end, because otherwise we're going to talk about nothing but panhandling for like 20 minutes straight. Here's what we got. Pulse Wants to Watch list. Do you know about this list, man?
I do know about the list.
You ever been on the list?
I have never been on the list.
Yeah. Yes. She's been on the list. He's been on the list. I've been on the list. It's been a long tradition for us every year to look at this list in the Pulse magazine.
Paul Giorgio, what do we have to do to get Chris Robards on that list?
Send us an email. pieandcoffee@gmail.com is the email address if you want to complain about the show or help us get Chris on the 2014 Ones to Watch list. Every year we talk about this list. It's the one time of the year that we really talk about the Pulse magazine because I feel like otherwise the Pulse is not aimed at, for example, myself. But this list has traditionally had a lot of people from this show on this list. Not this year. This year, maybe we should be interviewing all the people on the list. Or maybe this is just a sign that us and the Pulse are heading in different directions. Whatever it is. We got Che Anderson, works with underprivileged children. We have Brad McNamara and John Friedman, co-founder of Freight Farms. These are these guys who have a thing where they greenhouses inside of shipping containers. Greenhouse is maybe the wrong word. Alex Madrigal, volunteer. Nicholas Carbone, Fitchburg City Councilor. So these are not, a lot of these are not Worcester people. Jeff Gracia, who has created a successful video game. Jay Parker Eldridge and Amanda Casale, co-founders of the Flyleaf Theater in Berlin. Sam James, musician, television star. Eric Dittleman, who is a professional mind reader. Victoria Hall, who's the project manager for economic and cultural development for the city of Worcester. Kathleen Wanat, Iron Woman. Patrick Carroll, a chef. Rom Clampert, founder of Revolution Functional Fitness Training. John Dooley, the founder of Greendale Physical Therapy. And I think that that's the end of the list. So, as is our tradition, these are the people to watch, Chris.
Congratulations, people. Apparently those are the people. Congratulations, all of those people. I saw Mike Birbiglia right after that. I know who he is, but he's not on the list.
He's probably on the Ones to Watch list a long time ago. I don't know. Another thing I want to talk about media-wise is Worcester Magazine. I tell you, I've had my mixed feelings about Worcester Magazine ever since I moved to Worcester. I've had mixed feelings about Worcester Magazine. Especially the last few editors, I feel like things change. Some things improve, some things get worse. The fact that they picked a guy who's the owner of the Tornadoes, the much beleaguered owner of the much beleaguered Tornadoes, as the person of the year, I think is a genius. It's brilliant, you know?
Jose Canseco was robbed.
Jose Canseco doesn't live in Worcester, man. I mean, this is a serious thing. Do you have any opinion about this?
Had my gut reaction, which is as far as I guess I got, was exactly the opposite. I couldn't believe that they picked someone who sunk a baseball team in Worcester. But I'm interested to hear the alternative opinion.
I think that the opinion is that, I don't know, there's a lot of mindless boostering in the city of Worcester. Let me say this. Like, people talk about this all the time, like the amazing number of slogans that the city has. You know, like the city itself, after being burned down multiple times by the natives, like changing its name from Quinsigamond to War Castle, perhaps in an attempt to seem more intimidating so it wouldn't get burned down again. Like, empty marketing is like the origin of the city of Worcester, right? And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I just like this idea of them just like taking a risk. Let me say this, taking a risk at the very least by saying,
okay, I would give them somebody, taking a risk in that decision.
We're going to pick somebody who like has done like has taken a risk and it didn't work out. And maybe it will work out going forward. But at this point, it's kind of a fiasco. But nonetheless, I don't know. Made a lot of things happen this year that a lot of people talked about.
I don't know that. I don't know that I would so much credit him for taking a risk as being an out-of-towner who bled a bunch of local companies and for their products and then didn't pay them, which I guess was part of the problem that I had with the decision. But I can see the gist of where you're going with that.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear your strong disagreement with me on this. This is good. Brendan, do you have any opinion one way or the other on this?
Other than Jose Canseco being robbed?
Other than Jose Canseco was robbed.
No, I mean, they picked their person of the year. You made a big splash. It doesn't necessarily, person of the year historically does not need to be like a positive, right? So it's, I mean, however you view it, it is what it is.
Was like Hitler Times Magazine's
person
of the year?
I think they did at one point in time, didn't they?
I feel like they probably did. Boy, yeah. I shouldn't have even asked that question because I'm not ready to answer it.
Yeah.
We got a new happiness pony out this month. There's actually a couple of Worcester-based things I just want to touch on just because people need to know, or people might want to know. One is that there's an old closed coal mine in the city of Worcester. Do you ever see this coal mine?
I have not seen this coal mine, but I will now.
Well, we have a map in here also. You can also kind of Google this, but you just go get this happiness pony at
what
a local.
What part of the city, Mike?
This is by, here's the map. So this is like Lake Quinsigamond here. Mm-hmm. And this is like Green Hill Park kind of coming towards Lake Quinsigamond, and it's like right here. So you can kind of go out. It's on the East Side Trail in Worcester, which is a trail that goes, I guess, between Shrewsbury Street, roughly, and Lake Quinsigamond. But, we have this photo and we have this map because you're just going to kind of look at this. When you get there, you might look at it and say, okay, oh, yeah, this could have been an old coal mine. But otherwise, it's sort of hard to tell. There's not, like, concrete or anything there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we were talking about this before. I used to live in a place that had a lot of old iron mines, and they were really cool to explore, but they were not a whole lot of fun or very interesting to try to photograph. You kind of don't really know that they're there until you're like on top of them or inside of them. But
the lack of coal miners walking around makes it a little bit harder to identify.
Yeah,
that's true. There's no rails. There's none of those sweet mine cars here. It's just whatever it is. Another piece of information people probably need to know about. To know about is the fact that the City Hall Christmas tree has a door. Here's an unnamed person entering the door of the City Hall Christmas tree. So you could just go in there. If you're downtown, you know, you go ice skating, you get some lunch, you want to have a picnic. Why not inside the City Hall Christmas tree?
They sell refreshments in there, right?
Inside the tree?
Yeah.
I haven't been inside the tree. I've looked inside it.
I heard that's where they moved the snack shack for the skating was inside the tree. So if you're downtown looking for something to eat, just pop right in and they'll be happy to serve you.
They really should probably run something out of this,
it would
right?
be very elvish. Yeah, that would be pretty awesome.
It would be, oh man. Can you imagine any kid who's like, oh, let's go run some ice skates. Wait, the ice skate place is in a Christmas tree? Are you kidding me? And the guy's dressed as Santa Claus. He's running the skates.
Yeah.
You're telling me you can't charge a dollar more for skates? He gets to pay $5 more for skates for that. That's incredible. What else is going on? This panhandling. I so much want to talk about panhandling, and we're so going to put it off until almost the end of the show. Oh, we also have this email list. We have this email list out now. Basically, the idea is to try to have like a nice wrap up of dry city government news twice a week, for people who feel like they want to have some duty to follow this stuff, but aren't necessarily crazy enough to actually follow it. That this is a thing you could subscribe to, and you could get some emails every week that would just give you like information about city meetings that had happened, city meetings that are coming up. You look at the subject lines and say, "Oh, I'm really concerned about this or that coming in. Oh, I had no idea they're going to build a nuclear reactor in Worcester. Maybe I should go to that meeting." And if you go to WRCSTR.com, you can subscribe to that list.
Just to clarify, there is not a nuclear reactor being built in Worcester. That was an example of something that could come up that you might want to be aware of.
But let me tell you, if is the Telegram and Gazette going to tell you about that? They're going to tell you like the day before. Are they going to tell you when the zoning board meeting is coming up?
They didn't tell us there was a coal mine in the middle of the city.
Thank you. All right. Well, actually, they did. But
did they?
They had a little article about it last year.
No.
It didn't talk about the fact that Worcester is rich in peat, though. Albert Southwick doesn't want us to know that it's rich in peat. Only Happiness Pony talks about
the locals will start moving in on the peat industry.
Speaking of peat, here's Eat. What else? Do you want? Let's walk around and just look at this stuff for a second here.
Amy, lead the way. What should we be looking at?
Oh, man, more Christmas stuff back in here.
Like roller skates.
Where?
That's for Oval Tooth.
Summer Oval.
Have you guys been skating back there?
I still haven't been.
You have?
I went opening night.
Ah, man. I went opening night and they ran out of skates.
Yeah, that's a problem. Skate. They seem to have, like, two pairs of all of the sizes of skates that anyone would wear.
Man.
I have been skating now twice, but I've also waited 2 hours to get skates both times, which I guess means I should just buy my own skates. But
there's some antique ones here.
I like this. I like this idea of the antique skates, the old school stuff. These are really... Wow, what the heck is this? These are like Christmas ornaments? I don't know. More bow tie stuff. There's so much good bow tie stuff in here. There's like a sports memorabilia thing back in here.
Look at that.
I don't know. I don't know anything about sports. I don't know who any of these people are. Honestly. No Ted Williams. I don't know. Anyway. All this good stuff back in here. Brendan, how are you doing?
I'm great, man.
Are there any top stories in your mind in Worcester this week?
For me, it's really the only thing I've been thinking about locally, I think, is the panhandling issue, and you asked not to discuss that until you're ready. So I don't know if you're ready. Maybe we can just kill the rest of the show.
Why don't I just give people a little highlight of this? Is we'd like look at some knickknacks. So the city council decided that they need to do something about panhandling in Worcester. This is the third plan that they've had in recent years. Oh my goodness. What is this?
It's a dead cow.
This is like a longhorn steer maybe. How much is this? $225. Man. I bet if we were in Texas it would be way cheap, but not out here.
It's from Hudson, a farm in Hudson.
Really? Mm-hmm. Does this farm like have a little side business in selling the skulls of the cattle?
No, they were on his barn.
Oh, okay. He just had it out of his house.
Is that where it was put down?
Maybe.
I guess
probably his fault.
We don't want to scare people.
Oh, I think that makes it at least 10%.
No, he died. You know, he just
fell.
Just died one day. No.
That's where they probably was mounted somewhere.
Despite the bullet holes.
So the city has its third anti-panhandling plan, and the city council looked at it and they said, okay, we're not going to just vote on it, we're going to send it to a committee. So they sent it to a committee which was made up of two other committees of the city council, and they talked about it. Yeah, and they talked about it the other day. What? And there are three parts of this. Three kinds of ordinances in this. One of them is about traffic safety. It's just like, don't run around in traffic, don't play on traffic islands. And that part, in my opinion, is pretty reasonable.
Stuff you learned when you were five.
Stuff that's probably already illegal by other ordinances in the city. One part of it is about not harassing people. Oh my goodness, they have like note cards here. This is the worst presentation of panhandling stuff ever. Oh look, a squirrel. And one part of it is all about not harassing people and not being persistent in panhandling from people and not being threatening and not being creepy. And one part of it is about times and places where panhandling will be illegal. And this is not just talking about panhandling. This is talking about kids trying to raise money for Little League. This is talking about nonprofits. This is actually talking about anybody who needs a quarter or needs a dollar for the bus or whatever, or is in a hard time and wants to ask somebody else for help, which is why it's a little bit troubling to have time and place restrictions on this. These time and place restrictions would say you can't ask for money if somebody is walking. Actually, any place of public assembly, which seems like a broad piece of legislation, to say you can't ask for money in any place of public assembly. You couldn't ask for money near banks. You couldn't ask for money near bus stops. You couldn't ask for money around dusk at night or around dawn. And so this is just a little bit troubling to people. And so a number of people came out and spoke about this at the meeting. There were some business leaders who came out and spoke about how panhandling is negatively impacting people's view of the city. Oh my goodness, this is like the most Christmassy stuff ever. It's negatively impacting people's view of the city, or it's making it so that people don't want to go to their businesses because there's creepy panhandlers around. They didn't really speak so much to specific parts of these ordinances that they liked. But there were a number of people who spoke about parts of the ordinances they didn't like, specifically that third class of time and place restrictions. And the city council had a very considerate and compassionate discussion of the first two parts of it, the traffic stuff and the behavior stuff. They also didn't talk about the time and place restrictions, nor did the city's lawyer talk about the time and place restrictions, which was a little frustrating. Just because I don't think it's the end of the world if this stuff gets passed, but it would be interesting to know why they think that those things are important, why those restrictions might actually not just like undermine the sense that like Worcester is a friendly city where you could ask somebody for help, you know. And I actually asked a city councilor afterwards. I said, like, what about this third category of stuff? Like, I stood up before the meeting and I said I was concerned about it, and I explained why. I didn't think it was the end of the world, but I thought it was probably a bad idea. Why didn't you talk about it? He said, well, it's not in there. And I said, well, let's look at the ordinance. And he pulled a copy of the ordinance out of his pocket. Sure enough, it was in there. And he was very surprised to see that part in there. So I don't know. I'm hoping that the city council, when they discuss it, will talk about these time and place restrictions because the subcommittee, the committee didn't talk about them. Boy, that was my rant. I'm not going to say anything else. Chris Robarge.
Yes.
Your take.
I think it's a really bad idea.
Let's walk back in here.
I think it's a really bad idea for a lot of reasons.
Okay.
I think that it's incredible. incredibly overreaching, far beyond anything that is reasonable.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be effective at solving any of the actual problems that, you know, cause people to go out and ask for money.
And
in
just
the first place.
Just to interrupt you.
Sure.
Whenever I spoke to the city council, I challenged them to say, explain to me how this is going to be effective. And to their credit, Connie Lukes and others of them said in their comments to the audience there, this really isn't going to do anything. And so why are all you people worried?
Yeah.
And I thought that was sort of an amazing admission that, like, this is a sort of ineffective piece of legislation, but why not pass it? Because,
well,
you know,
so,
would be fun to pass some legislation.
I think there's constitutional concerns to that, and then there's just sort of general concerns. But actually, to sort of talk about something on the side for a minute to what you were just saying, what seems really interesting with me with council, and I've always gone to council a fair amount, but especially now, I'm there and I follow what they're doing, and I follow what the committees are doing a lot more than I used to. And what I've noticed is that they set out dialogues for us, and because of the ways in which the meetings are structured, we never know what the dialogue's going to be beforehand.
Okay.
So the first time that they talked about, well, the most recent time that they talked about this before the committee hearing, the dialogue was something needs to be done and we've got the solution to do it because this other thing didn't work.
Right.
And so we all went to the meeting prepared to discuss that. And then at the meeting, they throw this new dialogue at us, and they say, well, we're not really, you know, what we're doing is almost nothing. Like, what are all you crazy people so worried about? And then, like, that's the new dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody gets to present beforehand as citizens, and then they tell us all that we're nuts and that, you know, there's nothing to be worried about and there's nothing of concern in the ordinance. And then we have to hope that enough people show up at council to, you know, refute that on Tuesday, and then who knows what the new dialogue is. But it seems like they set a dialogue, they let us all say a bunch of stuff, and then they just talk about their dialogue.
I tell you, I would have felt like, basically watching that conversation, I would have felt like I was nuts if a city councilor had not literally said afterwards, oh yeah, I hadn't read it. This whole dialogue was based on a pretend version of what we're voting on.
Right.
That was nice. I tell you, when I'm talking to Worcester city councilors, it feels to me like a conversation between Franz Kafka and Groucho Marx, and I don't know who is who, and it bothers me. It's always a little bit disorienting.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I've said before, you know, about some of the shenanigans with the police department that, you know, I would have, my take has come to be that, you know, the police department with some of the stuff that they do, like, they're not even good at being bad, like, they're bad at being bad. And, like, this was an example to me of the city council just being bad at being bad. Like, they haven't read the ordinance, or they have, but they're not talking about those pieces of it, and they don't know how it's going to solve the problem, and they gave a different and much more comprehensive plan like 2 months, and it doesn't make any sense really on any level. But I mean, you know, from a fundamental standpoint, taking a step back from all of the specifics,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the end of the day, you have a constitutional right to stand on a sidewalk and hold a sign, and
right.
the content of the sign
not by is, a bus is, not by a bus stop.
Well, apparently not.
Not at night.
The content of the sign is really irrelevant, and I mean, to me, it's kind of that simple. But on the bad at being bad thing, you had, you know, things like the city solicitor saying in a meeting, basically, you know, being asked, well, would this affect politicians in Newton Square? And him saying, well, no, because if somebody would have to call the police, and no one would call the police on that. And then even if they did call the police, trust me, I will be calling on all sorts of people. But saying, even if the police were called, they would have the discretion to decide whether or not it was really a situation of concern. I mean, they essentially said, we're going to enforce this on scruffy people asking for change and not on Billetti standing in Newton Square doing a stand-up. I mean, that's pretty bad at being bad.
That's weird to me. And this is actually something that, again, like, in complaining about this to people, that I've heard from a number of people, which is, well, at the end of the day, this is all about police enforcement, and the police will do a reasonable job of enforcing this. So, like, you don't have to worry about the fact that this law is making a ton of stuff illegal that should be, that we actually all want to be legal. And I don't like this because I feel like when we have something which involves, like, civil society and religious expression and civil liberties, I want us to do a good job. I want us to pass a law that is the law that we want, and I want the police to enforce the law that we passed. I don't want us to say, it's too hard for us to pass a law that's an actual law that we want, and so the police have to now be twice as good because they have to, like, get, you know, they have to guess what we're going at as well as enforcing it correctly. This is too important for that.
Right.
Come on, people.
Or to say, you know, we have laws, by the way. If you, somebody's harassing you, following you into a building, you know, if you say no and somebody's tracking you down the street or touches you or comes up and starts banging on your car, you know, we have laws like disorderly conduct or trespassing. If you're on property you're not supposed to be on, I mean, we have laws on the books to cover these things.
Harassment and assault are mentioned plenty of times in the MGL, where I don't think the state of Worcester needs to overthink them.
And the problem, if there's a problem...
Look at this scale.
Chicopee Falls, Massachusetts.
That is the single-sided scale of Worcester justice right there.
It has one pan.
It has two wheels, but only one pan.
Let's keep walking.
There's something there.
Go ahead. You were saying something important about civil liberties.
No, I mean, I guess all that I was going to say is that, I mean, what's the problem that we have relating to people that are overly aggressive? Well, maybe the problem is that when you call the police in Worcester and someone's not actively dying, it generally takes an hour for them to come, and whoever's caused the problem is long since gone.
Right.
That problem is not going to, that may be a problem, but it's not going to be addressed by additional ordinances and additional crimes.
Well, okay. So, we will see. This stuff, let me ask you, like, you're not a lawyer, right?
I'm not. This is, not even close.
Don't cities get, like, sued over this exact kind of law all the time?
Yes. And this is what I have been trying to convey to the city council at all of their meetings. Cities do pass ordinances like this and have nationwide. And if they are overly broad, as this one, in my opinion, most certainly is, similar ones and even less broad ones in other places, have been challenged in court and they've been struck down. You can't, there's a number of things you can't do, and I won't go into the time it would take to explain all of them, but I believe, from a non-attorney's perspective, I believe, looking at the precedent of lots of different cases and how they've been decided, that this would be on very shaky legal ground if they decide to pass.
And there's at least one precedent-setting case in Massachusetts stemming from Cambridge that the SJC ruled on, I think, back in the 80s, that although doesn't speak to specifically a lot of the concerns in this ordinance, in a very general sense, made it very clear that the Supreme Court ruling that had come prior to that made it clear that, you know, there are certain places along these lines that we just can't go. Based on some of the other state rulings, I know California this year, there was a state ruling covering one of their city ordinance that looks identical to this ordinance that got struck down and almost laughed out of court as being far too broad, and it's trying to keep people from panhandling. It doesn't look good. I mean, what's crazy too is that the number of cities and towns that seem to be taking a look at what we're doing as something they should also do, as opposed to looking at the court precedent that's out there that probably says in a long enough timeline this won't last.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, the case in Massachusetts is a case called Benefit versus Cambridge, and it's a case that people should look at if they want to learn a little bit more about this. If any city councilors are watching, it's the one I keep mentioning, and I suggest once again that you take a look at it.
Ask the city solicitor about it at the meeting.
And the city solicitor, to their credit, it is mentioned in the manager's memo right before they, you know, then plow right past it and do things that would violate it. But yeah, it talks about a number of things, including that, you know, that that panhandling or begging or soliciting is an element of free speech. And it also talks about, to the point we were making before, that there are existing laws on the books to deal with situations in which peaceful encounters become not peaceful. But I mean, you know, it's absolutely true that, you know, these things have been struck down in many places, and I guess the proof is in the pudding there.
We've only got about a minute left.
That's, you know, the thing that really bugs me too. And you made some comments about the police and whatnot, but I think ultimately, if you look at where this ordinance came from, it seems to be stemming from a lot of business owners who are frustrated that the presence of panhandlers either on their property or off is bad for business, and that's the thing that seems kind of crass in a way, where we do have ordinances like trespass laws and whatnot that could deal with their needs and their concerns without recreating the wheel. And if they're not taking advantage of those existing ordinances, why would we think that they would even take advantage of new ordinances?
I think that one thing that has been very interesting to me, and I know a few other people have pointed it out, is how incredibly quiet the police department has been throughout this entire conversation. They haven't been at any of the meetings. They haven't made any comment in public. They haven't made any comment.
And they're very capable of figuring out a way to inject their position in something that they care about.
On many other things. So I don't know what it says, but it says something.
Well, I tell you what I want to talk about. I want to talk about this amazing case of joy here at Groton Collective. It was 136. What was it? Was the address? 138 Green Street. This is a place you could go if you want to look at knickknacks. If you want to argue with people about city politics, if you want to, do people ever go on dates here?
I don't know.
I would totally go on a date here. Maybe I'm just a weirdo. I think it's a beautiful place. Amy, Brendan, Chris, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, man.
This has been 508. We'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.